Retired now, John G. Morris had a 65-year career in photojournalism, as picture editor for Life magazine's London Bureau during World War II, as the first executive editor of Magnum, the legendary photographer's cooperative, and picture editor for The Washington Post and The New York Times. John Morris shepherded some of the seminal images of the 20th century into print. His personal history of journalism, Get the Picture, is just out in paperback. Mr. Morris is on the line with us from Paris, where he lives. Mr. Morris, the photo on the cover of this book is just extraordinary, taken in 1994 during the first elections in South Africa. Could you please describe it?
Well, it's a photo of Jim Nachtwey, an American who happens to be one of the world's great photojournalists. He's won the Robert Capa Award, which is for courageous photojournalism, no less than 5 times, and he's won about every other award you can imagine, except the Pulitzer Prize, and that was won by the photographer who took this picture of Nachtwey.
Huh.
And that was David Turnley, then working for the Detroit Free Press.
Mm-hmm. He is crouching, Nachtwey is, with his camera, 2 feet in front of an African holding a rifle. And behind Nachtwey, you can see another photographer who's lying on the ground aiming his camera at that same rifleman. And still a third photographer, this David Turnley, takes the picture of all of them.
It's really bizarre.
Well, it's like looking into reflections in a mirror after a mirror after a mirror. It just keeps going on forever. But this whole notion of war photography and those pictures, which are so important because they give testimony. And you were in charge of the pictures at Life magazine's London Bureau on D-Day, and you sent out one of photojournalism's greatest practitioners, Robert Capa. You were his editor on D-Day.
It's a day I'll never forget. It was up to Robert Capa to bring back the pictures of the landing on the French coast. Communications were not as they are today.
Mm.
So early Wednesday evening, a courier brought 6 rolls of film from Bob Capa. There were 4 rolls of 35 millimeter. And a note, a handwritten note from him said, "John, the action's all in those 35 millimeter films." So I told the darkroom to rush development. And we were facing a deadline, not only of Thursday morning, which was our last chance to get film back, but also the entire world press was waiting for wire pictures, which hadn't been seen yet. A few minutes later, a hysterical darkroom boy came running into my office saying, "The films are ruined." And I said, what do you mean? He said, "I put them in the developer and then hung them in the drying cabinet and turned down too much heat, and the emulsion ran." I said, "I can't believe it." So I ran to look at them with him, and I held up the rolls one at a time, and the first 3 were just soup. You couldn't see anything. But on the 4th roll of film, the last one, there were 11 images that were discernible. And those pictures saved us, and those were the pictures that have come to symbolize D-Day ever since.
The landing on Omaha Beach. 11 frames.
That's right.
Hmm.
So that was the worst professional night of my life.
but those images have lasted so long. The men desperately plying the ocean, trying to get to shore, holding their rifles overhead. Some of those images were used by Steven Spielberg, duplicated by him for that film Saving Private Ryan.
Exactly. Spielberg had thanked Capa indirectly for that coverage because that showed that landing the way it really was. It was horrible, just horrible. I mean, there were tremendous casualties.
Mm-hmm. Well, if horrible accidents weren't happening in the dark room, you also had to contend with the censorship of photographs during the Second World War on the part of the United States government and the Allies. And you feel this was very detrimental. For example, the early pictures of the Allied destruction of Berlin were not published, nor were pictures of the damage after the atomic bomb was dropped. What difference would it have made, John Morris, if those photographs had been published?
We were fighting a propaganda war as well as a war of munitions. The Germans had their propaganda forces. We had ours. Life magazine, which was the outstanding picture medium of America at that time, as a weekly, was the foremost propaganda instrument for America. It was a war we had to win. But the public tends to forget that there's another side. And I remember in London, I received a packet of pictures sent by a Stockholm correspondent for Time Life, the devastation in Berlin caused by Allied bombing and stacks of bodies piled up. Terrible pictures. And I remember taking those to the British censors to try to send them back to Washington for clearance to go on to New York and my editors. Mm-hmm. And the British censors said, sorry, you can have these after the war.
On this notion of censorship, though, in fact, it worked, didn't it, during World War II? It kept the country united, unified behind this war, as compared to what happened once television began covering the war in Vietnam and those awful images began coming into our living rooms.
World War II was a war we had to win. The Nazi threat to the world, coupled with the Japanese threat, just had to be faced. So I think there are two sides to the censorship battle.
Mm-hmm.
We still have censorship. Have you seen any pictures of Dick Cheney in his command center in Washington, where he went following the events on September 11th? There are things that we don't realize we haven't seen.
Is it always the wrong thing? Isn't there the case to be made that we shouldn't see where Vice President Cheney is because it can jeopardize his safety?
It's always a tough call, and I think that photojournalists should be the enemies of secrecy.
Hmm.
I think there are too many secrets. There are too many unnecessary secrets. Journalists have an enormous responsibility to tell the truth and to reveal the world to the public. Otherwise, we can't function as a democracy.
In Get the Picture, you write that September 11th, 2001, marks a turning point in the history of photojournalism. How does it do that?
In recent years, publications have tended to emphasize celebrity coverage and, to a certain extent, the superficial. I hope that September 11th was a wake-up call for journalists as it was a wake-up call for the public. I think September 11th brought us back to reality, and I think the press reacted magnificently.
Thank you very much. John G. Morris, picture editor for Life magazine in its glory days, also the Washington Post and the New York Times, and the first executive editor of Magnum, the photo agency. His book is called Get the Picture, A Personal History of Photojournalism.